beautiful song. What a blessing. Amen. Well, in Isaiah chapter 9, a couple of verses are familiar verses. We refer to them usually at Christmas time. Verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And I do want to key on that. I want to talk to you about the God of Peace this morning. Father, I pray for your guidance and direction. Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts and show us today, through your word, the God of Peace. Thank you for that peace that passes understanding of man, a peace that only you can give, a peace that only your children can have. Thank you for that peace. Show us today, Lord, the God of peace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in verse 6, of course, we see the Prince of Peace. There are five other times in the Scripture that reference is made to the God of Peace. And that is certainly one of God's attributes. I guess if there were anything I could get you to understand today, it is that God is the God of Peace. God knows all about peace. And in our troubling times and in our troubled lives, let me say today, we have a God of peace. He is the God of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He knows all about peace. And not only is that one of God's attributes, but it is what He gives to us. Understand, His peace is a supernatural peace. It is not manufactured. It's not false. It is a real supernatural peace. This has been one of those weeks. You know, it's just been an interesting week. Started out with Brother Kelvin bringing a devotional on Psalm 119, 165, and talking about blessed are they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. And, you know, just this idea of loving the Word of God, and it just seemed like day after day there was something that wanted to offend me. You know, you ever have a time like that? And issue, just things came up in people's lives. And of course, Dan Pfeiffer, he went home yesterday, by the way. Praise the Lord for that. But I got to talk to him quite a bit about the peace of God and God's comfort and all of that. Then Bob Hill went into the hospital, many of you know about that and are already praying for him. It looks like he has a myeloma, which basically is cancer, but I've talked to him and talked to the Lord, and God just gives peace, and I'll make some reference to some of those things that have happened throughout the week. But God gives us peace. He is the God of peace. It's His attribute. He is peace. Okay, understand that. But He also gives you and I peace. There are folks in this room, you're troubled all around. I mean, your whole life, you're mad at the world, you're mad at people, you're mad at life, you're mad, you know, but God will give you peace if you just let Him today. And He wants to give you peace. There's folks that are sad, you know, some are mad and some are just plain sad. You know, everything's going wrong. Understand, God can give you peace. There's some that are, you're wore out because you didn't sleep last night, because you're all shook up about things. And understand this, God is the God of peace. And there is no other God that will give you peace. You know, you may think that little bottle with pills in it, that gives you peace. That doesn't give you peace. That'll just help you to sleep. But when you wake up, all the trouble's still there. God gives peace. God makes the trouble seem like it's not trouble. God makes the trouble seem small compared to Him. God helps you when the thunder and lightning are flashing and crashing around you and the storm is raging. God is the one that says, "Peace, be still," and He's the one that can calm the storm. Or He can calm you in the middle of the storm. Or He can set you on the solid rock in the shaking of the world around you. He's the one that He gives peace. He's the God of peace. In our world, we search for peace in all kinds of ways. We look for it in money. And those of you that that have any money at all or had money, you know, you know, we all know that money does not give peace. Popularity does not give peace. Looks do not. You know, you say, well, you know, I'm just trying to be good looking. And that doesn't give peace. In fact, it actually brings on more stress, because if you have arrived at good looks, then there's nothing else to achieve and you worry about losing them. Same with your money. Same with popularity. You know, there's folks that searched last night the world of drugs and alcohol to try to get peace. And the truth of the matter is, oh, they might have forgot about their problems for a while, but that's not real peace. Real peace is in the midst of the problems. You just know everything's okay. That's what God gives. And I want to just show you some things that that make God the God of peace. I want to show you some things that just jump out at me as we look at the word, the God of peace. And here, of course, in our text, the Prince of Peace, because that's our first point. And the first point, the God, he's the God of peace because of, number one, his provision. His provision. In Isaiah 9, we, and again, this is, you read that and you probably thought, oh, he's going to talk about Christmas. Well, praise God for the Christian, every day could be Christmas. We ought to celebrate the coming of our Messiah, the coming of our Savior, the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. We can celebrate that every day, amen? I mean, it doesn't bother me. On Wednesday night, I believe it was. Maybe it was in chapel last week. We sang a Christmas song, and I heard somebody, oh, Christmas song. You know, well, with a Christian, every day could be Christmas songs. Amen. I mean, it's okay. But he's the God of peace because of what he provides. And he provided the solution to our biggest problem. Amen. I mean, don't you like your problems to be solved? I mean, today you got a financial problem. Wouldn't you like tomorrow, you know, you go out to the mailbox tomorrow and problem Saul, wouldn't you like that today? Maybe you have a health problem today, and wouldn't you like to go to the doctor next week and the doctor say, you know what? Problem is solved. Maybe you have a car that's not running right, and wouldn't it be wonderful after it's anointed with motor oil or something like that? You know, wouldn't it be great if you go out there and problem solved? Wouldn't that be great today? Well, God solved the biggest problem that you and I have, and that is our sin problem, by providing the solution. He didn't say, figure it out, human. He didn't say, you work it out, human. He didn't say, you come up with a savior, human. He said, I will provide you a child, my son. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And that was the only way. He didn't say, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son, if you can afford it. No, he said, a son is given. He gave his only begotten son so that you and I could be saved. God's son provided because God loved us. Amen. Because he loves us, he provided our solution to the biggest problem that we could have. I remember before I got saved, I was pretty shook up. I remember when I realized that I was going to die someday and I would go straight to hell. I remember I was pretty shook up. I remember the first time I heard about the rapture and heard about Jesus coming again, and I realized I was going to be left behind. I was pretty upset about that. I had a problem. I had a problem when I was on my way to hell. I had a problem when I thought Jesus would return and I'd be left behind. And you know what? That is a problem that I could not do anything about. I could have gone to church until I knew all the songs and gone to church until I could quote all of the responsive reading. I could have gone to church and gotten all the Sunday school attendance badges and everything else, and I still had a problem. I could have done good things, good works. I was a Boy Scout, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Aren't you impressed? And I knew all that stuff, had those badges and all those kind of things, had a sash with all kinds of badges on it and everything. Listen to me, though. And I could have become an Eagle Scout. And I could have done all those things, and I still would have had a problem. I could have helped little old ladies cross the street. I could have shoveled people's walks for them. I could have done all kinds of good things, but I still would have had a problem. But God provided a solution for me. His provision. Because I'll be honest with you, I remember invitation after invitation where I knew I was lost and I was concerned about it. And I'd sit there and tremble and I'd hold on to the back of the pew and I was all shook up about it and didn't know what, you know, could not do anything of my own. But God took care of it for me. And you know what? That brings peace. That is a wonderful, wonderful peace. The Bible says here in our text, it says the government shall be upon his shoulder. Amen. What kind of government? Oh, it's a government of peace. On His shoulder. Amen. Not on my shoulder. I don't have to. You say, you know, I don't like what's going on with the government. Well, guess what? God's government is okay. The government on His shoulder, and during the 1,000-year millennium, it'll be absolutely perfect, although we're going to be the mayors and the leaders and everything else. That scares me a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, it's on His shoulder, and it's a government of peace. And all it's saying there is this. You know, when Jesus was born, the angels, they said, peace on earth, goodwill. Why? Because He is peace. He is peace. His provision brought peace. His provision made it possible for you and I to have peace. You know, church service after church service, I don't worry anymore about where I'm going to go when I die. Church service, I'm going through the book of Revelation. Somebody says, wow, boy, that's kind of a scary book. It's not scary to me. You know why? Because God provided the solution to my problem. Could you imagine Brother Larry teaching through the book of Revelation and not knowing where you're going to go? I can't imagine it. I can't. Honestly, I couldn't even read the book of Revelation. I'd have a hard time getting through the first chapter of the book of Revelation if I didn't know that God provided my solution. He made it possible for me to go to heaven. You know, the Bible says, and I love this in verse 7, of the increase of His government and peace. Notice what it says, there shall be no end. That means it just gets better and better. His peace just keeps getting better and better in my life, and you'll see that here in a minute as we talk about this. But I mean, after I got saved, honestly, when I prayed, I knelt at my bedside and I said, oh God, forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and save this wicked sinner and take me to heaven when I die. And there was peace. It was instant peace. Peace, not feeling. Hello. I'm not talking about feeling. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about I wasn't guilty anymore. And I knew I wasn't guilty anymore. I wasn't going to hell anymore. And I knew I wasn't going to hell. And if Jesus came, let the trumpet sound. I'm going to heaven. That's peace. I can't explain it. And you know what? Then it says there's no end. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. It just gets better and better. I mean, honestly, we get to heaven and you know, I move into that mansion. I never have to worry about anybody coming to take it away from me. Amen. All the furniture in the mansion, Brother Hawkins, I don't have to worry about anybody coming to repossess it. Isn't that good? I don't have to worry about thieves breaking in and stealing anything. Not when I'm in heaven. It just gets better and better. It gets more and more peaceful. Amen. As you go on in your Christian life. By the way, that's how it should be for you, Christian. You sit here today and you say, oh, I'm all shook up about this and shook. Have you been saved? Have you accepted God's provision of salvation? Notice what He did here. Verse 2. The Bible says, people have walked in darkness, have seen a great light. His provision eliminated blindness in my life. Now I can see. You talk to folks, you talk to people about the Lord, you talk about the end times, you talk about, some of the things that are going on, and folks are just plain old blind. They don't get it. I'm telling you, it's just like being in the dark. They don't get it. They need the light to shine. Well, the light shines when they get Jesus in their heart. Then they can understand. Then they can see. It's amazing to listen to unsaved people talk about the things that are going on around here, to talk about the things that are happening, and you just say to them, hey, the Bible said so. Well, I don't want to hear about that. Why wouldn't you want to hear about that? I mean, if the Bible said so, and it said so years and years ago, why wouldn't you want to hear about that?
Well, you know, that's just a book of stories and all.
No. It's the truth. But you know, when you get saved, there's a peace that passes understanding because God provided His Son Jesus, and that peace eliminates blindness. It, there's a lot of stress in not being able to see, wouldn't you say? You know, you're in the dark. I mean, all of a sudden the lights go out and I mean, you can't see. And it's tough. It's tough. And your heart starts to beat a little bit faster, you know, because you're not sure what you're going to run into. Your heart starts to get, you know, you start to sweat a little bit because, when you get saved, all of a sudden everything starts making sense. But that's because of God's provision. The Prince of Peace. Eliminates blindness. Then the third thing I find, or the second thing under this I see is it eliminates brokenness. Verse 3, in chapter 9, it says, thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. Here the people grew, the nation multiplied, but there was no joy. There was no joy. And there's sorrow. You know, there's stress in hurting. There's a lot of stress in sorrow. There's a lot of stress in pain. You know, God's provision of His Son takes away a lot of sorrow. It eliminates brokenness. A lot of stress to hurt. And then notice verse 4. It says, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden. Oh yeah, the provision of God's Son eliminates bondage. Yeah, there's a lot of stress in being a slave. I know we haven't experienced that. But I'm talking about I'm not talking about a servant, I'm talking about a slave. Bondage. A lot of stress in that. But you know, when I got saved, the chains fell off. They're gone. I'm not under that stress anymore. And neither are you if you're saved. But that's because God provided His Son. Eliminates blindness, brokenness, bondage. But then the fourth thing that I find here, verse 5, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Here it's talking about at the end of the battle where they pile all the bodies up and they burn them, which is very typical in a war. Understand this. Jesus being provided for us eliminated the battle. There's a lot of stress in fighting with God. I got news for you. You lose. Okay, there's a lot of stress. I fought with God for many years. I'm talking about when I knew that I was lost and I knew that I needed to get saved. I fought with God. And I got news for you. When He came into my heart, when He saved me, that battle was gone. I'm not fighting with God anymore. You say, well, I'm not saved, but I'm not fighting God. My Bible says you are an enemy of God's. If you're not saved, you are His. You can play games all you want. Just because you're religious doesn't mean you're on God's side. Just because you're a member of this church doesn't make you on God's side. Just because you got dunked in that baptistry, that doesn't mean you're on God's side. My Bible says we are at enmity with God till we get saved. And I got news for you. You don't have peace. And you know you don't. You're just, it's all a false peace. But you know, God's provision eliminated blindness and brokenness and bondage and eliminated the battle by Him providing His Son. His provision. No more do I have to worry about those things. He provided His Son as my Savior. And once you're saved of the increase of His peace, there shall be no end. That goes all the way into eternity. Isn't that wonderful? It is so wonderful. Being a Christian, I cannot imagine. Brother Dan Pfeiffer and I talked about this often while he was in the hospital. I don't know how unsaved people do this. It's the peace that God gives because of His provision. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Being saved gives you a peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Then the second thing I want you to see is Romans 15, verse 33. Not only is He the God of peace because of His provision, but He's also the God of peace because of His presence. Romans 15 and verse 33. You know, in our world, there are people that are wringing their hands. They are worried about this, worried about that, worried about the news, worried about Egypt, worried about the economy, worried about the government, worried about all these different things. But as a child of God, because God provided His Son to be my Savior, I'm no longer worried about those things. I don't have to. I have a real peace about what's going on. Well, what about the future? Looks pretty good for the Christian. Looks pretty good for the child of God. In my Father's house are many mansions. Looks pretty good. Let not your heart be troubled, He says. His provision. But how about His presence? Romans 15, verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Now the God of peace be with you. Be with you. Amen. With you and I. The God of peace, He's with me. Isn't that good? Look at Ephesians 4, verse 6. Ephesians 4, verse 6. Years ago I preached a message about where God is. Look what it says in Ephesians 4 and verse 6. one God and Father of all who, watch this, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Isn't that good? I mean, he's everywhere. He's above me, he's below me, he's around me, he's in me. He's all around. Look, his presence gives peace. His very presence gives peace in my life. That is so wonderful. Notice John 15, verse 26. John 15, 26. But when the Comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And that's the Comforter. His name, Comfort. Comfort. You know, his Spirit, he's in me. He's around me. I often, when I think about things like this, and I go back to being a child and remembering when the storms would come. You know, as long as Dad was up, I could sleep. I mean, it doesn't matter how bad the storm is. The wind's blowing and lightning is crashing. And so what did I walked into my parents' room and I coughed. And I sneezed. And when things really got bad, Dad! Once he got up, he's awake. I'm fine. I go right to bed. There's just something about knowing that he knows everything's okay. You know, but it's even better with our Heavenly Father. If you just would understand His presence, He's there. Just being there gives us peace. See, our biggest problem is when we doubt that He's really there. Our biggest problem, God, where are you? Oh, He's there. If you're saved, He's in you. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never leave thee. Never, 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 never. Never. So here comes the devil. Boy, he comes at you and he roars at you, but God's in you. I remember one senior trip we went on and one of the teenagers, one of the seniors, I was really scared to fly, but I feel a lot safer because you and Mrs. Rogers are on the plane because you're close to God and right with God. And they said that, and they just kind of sat back and were enjoying the flight. And then I looked at all the seniors that we were with and I thought, I wonder if they're right with God. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But you know, knowing that He's with you, there's a peace. Dan, before he went into surgery, you know, he just had such a good spirit. And he said, Preacher, he said, I know God's with me. Are you listening? And how do you go through surgery? How do you go through tough times? How do you go through those difficult times in your life? And people say, boy, how you doing? How many funerals have I been to where a loved one was taken and maybe a wife of the man, you know, or the children of someone. And they're there just at such peace. How is that? It's because of His presence. His presence. I remember preaching Brother Ken Dehas's funeral and my best friend, and just unbelievable how all that happened. I remember somebody coming up to me afterwards and saying, how did you do that? I preached both my parents' funerals. I preached my grandparents' funerals. People say, how can you do that? Honestly, at the time, I couldn't imagine anybody else doing it. But there's a peace. What is that? It's the presence of God. His presence. He is the God of peace because of His provision. He is the God of peace because of His presence. Number three, look at Romans 16, verse 20. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Boy, here's why He's the God of peace. Romans 16, verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Notice that? The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. Shortly. Now, I'll be honest with you, the devil doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. But you know what gives you peace? Not only His provision, not only His presence, but His power. Oh, the devil looks so big, doesn't he? Just such a, you know, he's just got so much power. I'm always amazed at devil worshipers worshiping the devil. I mean, it just amazes me, really. you know, we'll kill a rabbit for the devil, or we'll kill a cat for the devil, or we'll kill some animal. You know, we'll do this for the devil, and we're going to worship the devil. And I always think, don't they understand the end of the story? Don't they get it? I wish they could just understand this verse right here. I mean, you're one of these people, you know, you wear black and you're in the occult and you do all these things and you make the pentagram on the floor and put the candles at the tips and you pray to the devil and he gives you some little power to do some little thing. Maybe you have a little voodoo kind of a doll or something like that and you're sticking pin. Oh, you got me. And you're doing on the devil's doing, hey, he's going to be bruised under my feet. Amen. Why is that? Because God's power. Look at verse 17. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. There's people out there like that all over this world. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And then he tells us about the God of peace. The devil's got all kinds of people out there trying to ruin your life and turn you away from God and turn you away from the things of God. But understand this. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And God says, I'm going to bruise him under your feet. That's victory in my life. That means I can have victory. That means when we sing victory in Jesus, I can sing it and mean it because I know that victory has happened and it will happen over and over and over and over. And my friend, you can have victory too. You can have victory day after day after day. And you can stomp on the devil every now and then. You can stomp on his tail every now and then. Because really, with a serpent, all you have to be concerned about is what? Its head. I've never heard of anybody having any trouble with a tail. Yeah, that snake, it got me with its tail. No. With a snake. My wife, she hates it when I talk about snakes because then she'll have nightmares and everything because snakes really bother her. She'll pick up a spider, no big deal. It could be a hairy spider. It doesn't bother her at all. But snakes, she just can't handle that. But the truth of the matter is, there are those trying to steer us away from the truth, but God is more powerful. We are more than conquerors. And Genesis 3, verse 15. Go ahead and turn there. I can see on your face you need this. Genesis 3, verse 15. I'm getting way ahead of myself. I've totally blown this part of the outline. But that's okay. Thank you. Genesis 3, 15. Right after man and woman sinned, here's what God said. God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. He's talking here to the serpent. That serpent's a snake. Notice what the enmity is Jesus. And it says this, it shall bruise thy head. It shall bruise thy head. Hey, snake, it shall bruise thy head. It shall bruise thy head. So here comes a snake, and it comes into the auditorium. It slithers. By the way, some churches do that kind of stuff. Snake handlers. Aren't you glad we don't do that?
Amen.
Yeah, me too. Oh, let the snake bite you. Well, you know, seriously, a snake's no big deal as long as its head's dealt with. Amen. I mean, seriously, you don't worry about the tail of a snake. In fact, you see that, oh, look, there's a snake. Oh, and then all of a sudden there's its mouth. Its tongue's doing its thing. That tongue offends me. It really does. But that's not the big problem. It's those. Yeah, and the poison that's in it. And, you know, and there's that snake. And that head, deal with the head. No big deal. I remember one time in school, they brought this big old snake, and the person's holding it, and they said, look, touch it. And, you know, everybody could pet the snake, and it was one of those big snakes. And they put the snake on my neck, and it started going, I remember I was wearing a red flannel shirt. And all of a sudden, you know, they're holding the head, and everything's fine. It's looking at me, and I'm looking at it, and they're holding the head. But then they let it go. Now, I was wondering about that head, and it went in my shirt. And it's slithering, and everybody, oh, that's wonderful, and everything. And I'm a teenager. I got to be cool.
And, you know, well, this is wonderful. But I'm thinking about that head, and I'm thinking about that tongue that's, you know how they do. And I'm thinking about those fangs that come, and that thing slithering around.
Now, by the way, you can't tell where the head is once it's inside and you can't see. Okay, because all you feel is just snake. And I'll be honest with you, I was a little concerned about that head. I really was, as it was wrapping around, that thing was going around there, and I kept thinking, what if it all of a sudden gets angry? You know? But as soon as it popped out, and then sure enough, the head popped, they grabbed the head again, and I felt real good about that. Understand this, God has already bruised the head of the devil. He's the head has already been dealt with. Now you know, you hear the rattle every now and then, you know, and he's slithering around here, and you know, he'll put you in a big old hug. I started to say a bear hug. I guess it'd be a snake hug. And he'll get you a little concerned, but the head is bruised. Jesus died on the cross, but up from the grave he arose, and the head's been bruised, and the devil is beaten. And now, how about that bruise? I got heel prints all over him. So do you. Every victory. That's why, you know, I sing Victory in Jesus. I get pretty fired up over that song. Because it is. It really is. His power. I like to tell the story when I was in elementary school. And I was under stress as a fourth grader. I mean, I was under serious stress in fourth grade. I remember it real well. It wasn't the teacher. It wasn't the classes. It wasn't times tables. Although 9 times 6 did give me some trouble for a while. But I mean, I was under stress because it was recess time. Serious stress. I mean, I didn't want to go to recess. And why? Because the fifth graders were picking on me. Do you remember the fifth graders picking on you when you were in fourth grade? And I mean, those fifth graders picked on all of us fourth graders. And we'd go out to recess, and we'd have our red ball, and we'd be bouncing that ball around and doing whatever, playing whatever. And those fifth graders came. They took our ball. And they would do terrible things. One time they threw our ball over into the pig farm, the field over there, and you know, we were upset about that. And I was under a lot of stress. And so you say, what'd you do? Well, the fifth graders were picking on us, so I made friends with the sixth graders. Never forget it. And they became my best friends. Guess what happened? Next time the fifth graders picked on us, the sixth graders came over. Boy, I had peace. Every recess after that, I had sweet, perfect peace till the sixth graders went on to school, another school the next year. But anyway, God's more powerful than the devil, folks. God's more powerful than the devil. We don't have to worry about him. There is a peace in God's power. He's the God of peace because of his provision. He is the God of peace because of his presence. He's the God of peace because of his power. Number four, he's the God of peace because of his promises. Look at Philippians 4, verse 7. I have people memorize this all the time. Folks that have thought problems and problems in their life with some things in the past and everything. Philippians 4, 7 says, "The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And the word keep there, as we often talk about it, it's talking about guarding. You know, the peace of God is going to guard, it's guarding my heart and my mind. Some of you, you're a mess today because you don't have that peace of God. You're not letting it guard your heart, and you're not letting it guard your mind. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, then he says, do. He says, here's how you think, here's what you do, and he says this, the God of peace shall be with you. Well, what are those things? That's his word. That's his promises. That's what he said out of his book. God never lies. God never has lied. God has always told the truth. God has always kept his word. God will always keep his word. You can rest assured that whatever he says, it's going to happen. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law. You sit here today offended about this and offended about that. You must not love the word of God. That doesn't go over too well. But understand this. His promises give peace. Because he never lies. Ever. Never has. Never will. He always keeps his word. Israel failed in their covenant, but he didn't fail. We fail, but he never fails. In fact, he gives us a provision. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. He is faithful and just to forgive us. You see, there's no peace when we sin, but there's perfect peace when we confess it. And he's faithful and just to forgive us. There's not a person in this room that hadn't had to ask God to forgive them since you've been saved. For many, it's several times a day. You know, God, I just can't believe I thought that. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe. He said this. He said, think on these things. And he said, those things, the things you've heard, the things you learned, the things you read, the promises I've given. He said, do it. Now you do it. And the God of peace, you will have peace. The most troubled people in this room right now are backslidden Christians. You are so troubled. You have so many problems because you have nothing to claim, because your life is so opposite of what God said. Well, God promised. Yeah, but he promised. He said, do. He said, think on these things. He said, do the things I told you to do. There's that person that is like Jonah, and you've run away from the will of God for your life. And you know what? There's no peace for you. Not going to be. That's why Jonah found no peace. No peace. You say, you know, he should have thanked God for that whale swallowing him. No, he had no peace until he got right with God inside the belly of the whale. Huh? Sad that it takes that for you and I, isn't it? It really is, but it does. And the only peace is when we do what he said. And then you know what? We can rest assured. There's some folks you're just kind of looking over your shoulder knowing he's about ready to spank you. You know it. There's no peace in that, is there? Ask your kids. Ask your kid. Of course, you know, timeout's not that big a deal. Anyway, you know what I found? Now you don't want to know. Well, I found an old paddle. I'm serious. And I'll be willing to sell it to somebody, the highest bidder. Hey, that'd be good at that auction. We'll see how much we can get. It's good. I mean, it's lasted. It has lasted. It's about that thick. It's pretty solid. It's about that wide. That scares you, doesn't it? That width thing can be a real problem. It's about that thick. It ain't breaking. I don't care how tough. But I know you're going to call the ACLU. Call them. But anyway, you know, there's a peace when you get right with God. And all of a sudden, you're back into that promise. All those promises that he has for us. Yeah. Yeah, he's a God of peace because of his promises. Then number five, he's a God of peace. Notice 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He is the God of peace because of his preservation. I love this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very God of peace. There it is. He's a God of peace because of his preservation. Huh? We are preserved by God. We're sanctified. That means we're set apart by God. We are holy, completely blameless before God. Why? Because of what he has done. He has done that. The very God of peace sanctify you. The very God of peace set you apart. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The very God of peace preserve you blameless unto the coming of Christ. Yeah, that's so good. There's peace there. Hey, we would never have any trouble going to court if we knew we'd be found not guilty. Right? I mean, if you know the judge is just going to say not guilty. If you know the judge is just going to say, you know, I know the officer thought you were going that fast, but I really don't believe you were. No charge. Wow, I'll do this more often. This could be a lot of fun, you know. Do you understand that's how it is going to be? Are you listening to me? When you stand before the judge, That's how it's going to be. I can't even believe it. Brother Letson, I don't even understand it because I know me. That's how it's going to be, though. The accuser, that's the devil, who I've stomped on a lot. So he's going to have a lot to say. He's a sinner! He's a wicked! He's done this and this and this! And he can name it all because I did. And Jesus just shows his hands. And the Father says, not guilty. Actually, Jesus is the judge. And he's also the advocate. Not guilty. I don't understand that. But there's a peace there. You say, well, I thought you said that in with his provision. No, there's a peace in the fact that I can't lose it. I mean, when I got saved, you don't understand. The peace was unbelievable. I mean, it just is so amazing what God did for me. But every day, because every day I'm a sinner. Every day, this flesh frustrates me. Every day my thoughts bother me. Every day the past tries to come back. Every day. And yet I know that someday when I stand before Him, I will be blameless. Why? Because of His preservation. Last thing, Hebrews 13, verse 20. I hope you're encouraged today. I hope the message is helping you today to understand this God of peace. It sure helped me. Hebrews 13 and verse 20, our last reference to the God of peace. He's the God of peace because of His provision, His presence, His power, His promises, His preservation. But finally, He's the God of peace because of His perfecting. This is the amazing thing. Verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. By the way, if you can bring somebody from the dead, you can do anything. That's why I don't care who you are today. Once God saves you and gets in you, He can do anything. He can do anything in your life. He can use you in any way He chooses to use. He can take a Saul and make him a Paul and make him a great preacher. He can do anything. Anybody. I don't care how tough you are. Don't care how hard your case. Don't care what your past. Don't care where you've been, what you've done, what you've said. Doesn't matter. He can do anything. This God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Watch what it says in verse 21. This God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do His will. What's He doing? Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. His perfecting in my life. He's working in me and He's working on me. Why? So that I can do His will. I just spoke to the shepherds over there. Had a wonderful service. And talk to them about doing the will of God. You said, preacher, don't you understand? They're the shepherds. They don't misunderstand anything. God has a plan for every one of them. Just as much as He has a plan for you. Everyone. And He's working in me so that I do it. You say, preacher, I'm going through a tough time. Well, understand, God allowed that in your life to get you ready to do what He wants you to do. Okay, don't get mad about the tough time. Don't get mad about the things you don't understand. Understand this: His perfecting in my life, it gives me peace because I know that He knows what's best. He knows what my rough edges are. He knew in Bible college. I used to say, you know, why I surrendered to do God's will. Why am I going through this, God? God's made it quite clear that there were a lot of rough edges. To become well-rounded, you got to take those edges off. Me, I was a square chunk that God had to work on. Hmm. That's why so many here today have no peace, because you rebel at His work in your life. And you rebel at His will for your life. And so you're not going to have peace. But I'll tell you this, when you yield to Him, when you surrender to Him, there's a peace, because He's perfecting you. Why do I have to go forward? Because He's perfecting you. Understand, there's no learning process complete without a test. Why'd this happen to me? It's a test. If you're going to go from fourth grade to fifth grade, you have to pass the test. If you're going to go from ninth grade to tenth grade, you're going to have to pass the test. If you're going to get the diploma, you're going to have to pass the test. And we don't like the test. We don't enjoy the test. But you know what? When I've passed the test, boy, is there ever peace. Is there ever peace? You know, the test of your growth as a Christian, it is for your perfection that you have that test. It's so God can take you on to the next set of lessons. It's so that, hey, you passed that chapter. Now, here's the next chapter. And you learn and learn, and then you have a test. And boy, when you... praise God. And all of it, why? So I can do His will. That's why. The God of peace. No accident God calls Himself the God of peace. He's the God of peace because of His provision, because of His presence, because of His power, because of His promises, because of His preservation, because of His perfecting in our lives. Aren't you glad that His government of peace shall increase in your life? It's why when you visit some saint in a nursing home, save for years, you talk to him. And as a young preacher, I still remember my first nursing home visit. Sweet lady. She was probably in her 90s. I went there to try to encourage her. She said, "I just can't wait till he comes." Now, I thought she was delusional. I thought she was looking for some visitor. I said, "Well, ma'am, are you talking about your son? You talking about, some relative?" "Oh, no," she said, "I'm talking about Jesus." Amen. I started looking around. You got to understand, I'm in my 20s. I was really young. And I'm looking around. I thought, because she's looking, Brother Larry, she's looking like she sees him out there, you know? She said, "Oh, I just can't wait." I said, "You can't wait for what?" She said, "Till he comes and takes me home." I said, "Well, you know," I said, I understand. She said, "No, you really don't understand." She said, "I just can't wait to be in heaven with my Jesus." And you know, the truth is, I didn't understand then. But I'm starting to. I really am starting to. Because He is the God of peace. And He'll be the God of peace in your life if you'll let Him. Let's bow our heads, please. Perhaps you're here and you don't have the God of peace as your Savior. He's provided the way. But you've never trusted Christ. I wonder if there's someone here that'd say, "Preacher, I don't know anything about going to heaven. If I died, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Please pray for me." Anyone like that? Pray for me. "I don't know if I'm saved." Anyone? Just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you if you're not sure of your salvation. How many Christians today would say, "Yes, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. God's speaking to my heart about something today. Please pray for me as a Christian." Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Raise your hand up right now. Amen. Father, I do pray for each and every one that raised a hand and those whose hearts are troubled today. I thank You, God, for being the God of peace. And You have been more than that in my life. And this week, the peace that You've given over and over and over and over, I thank You so much for that wonderful peace. And I pray it for everyone here. And I pray that you will bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 113. God speak into your heart today. You have something you need to pray about. You come as we sing Wonderful Peace.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial like streams it unceasingly falls, o'er my soul like an infinite
continue to play. Many have come. Many are still praying. If you need to come today and pray, God's spoken to your heart about something, you come. Aren't you glad we have the God of peace? That's a big G God. That is God. He is our God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the God of peace. He offers you peace today. Oh, why won't you trust Him for that peace? Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Any others need to come? There's still time.
Let's be seated. Turn to 105 in your hymnals, please. Pastor is going to baptize. We'll sing "All That Thrills My Soul Is Jesus," the author of peace. Who can fill my heart like Jesus? By His presence all divine. Oh, how blessed.
life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. What a wonderful redemption, never can a mortal know. How my sin, though red like crimson, can be whiter than the snow.
Trusted Jesus as your Savior. In obedience to our Lord's command and upon your profession of faith in Christ as your Savior, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. All right, let's all stand. And as we mentioned, no 4th through 6th grade choir tonight and no ensemble tonight. But everything else will go on at 5 o'clock as always. And then our service, of course, at 6. Brother Doug, if you'd go to the microphone, close in prayer, we'd sure appreciate that.
Father, we do thank you for the peace that only you can give, the peace that passes all understanding. Those that don't have it, don't understand it, don't understand how we can have it. And yet you give it to us, and we thank you for that. Lord, now we pray that you, the God of peace, would grant peace to each one here. If they don't have that peace, Father, that they would come to the Savior today before they leave this place, that they may achieve and attain and be given the peace that only you can give. And may that peace go in our hearts as a testimony to those around us this week. We ask and bless in your name we pray.